and he gets the studiest from a newspaper stand. From his boots to his pants, to his comments and his rants, he knows that any little article will do. Though he expresses the confusion about his part in the plan, and he can't understand that he's not in command. The decision's underwritten by the cash in his hand. Bought a sweater for his one or a two. Now I'm no madman, but that's insanity. He's before feminine, more before family. Goes and shows up with more bowls and more cups in the ride.
It's Marcus here. Welcome to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. The date is March the 14th, 2010. Now, there has been some interesting news in the e-reader tablet slate PC industry. Most noticeably recently, Google, as you know, they've been working on their Google Slate, which should be around a 10 or 11 inch tablet PC. Google's been developing this for about the last 2 months. It's been really in the news. We definitely have some product specs, and as far as what the resolution will be, it's running a Google Android operating system. But they have partnered with Verizon as far as the data distributor. Now, Google and Verizon have a bit of a deal. As people may or may not be aware, when Google released its Nexus One phone, the first smartphone offered by Google, in about January 4th or so of this year, that's when they started releasing it, and Verizon was their exclusive partner. And then roughly about 3 months after that, Google made deals with AT&T in order to have its Google Nexus on more 3G networks in Canada. That's Rogers, Bell, Telus. In the United States, it's AT&T. And it will also work in 3G with Orange in Europe and other major providers. So Google really influenced its reach with the Nexus One, but they've continued to partner with Verizon, mainly for the point that Verizon's almost the odd man out. If you look at Apple with its iPhone, with its iPad, they pretty well have exclusive relationships with AT&T. So that's a tremendous amount of money that AT&T is making off of that relationship. So Verizon really never had like a major partner in the computing world to rely on to get its brand out there, to get more people using its services. So Google and Verizon have teamed up. And according to a Wall Street Journal article that was published, they're saying that they will be running Google's Android operating system. They've straight up confirmed that, okay? And they're pretty well looking at Verizon. With the article that was published, their CEO, Lowell McAdam, confirmed that the company was collaborating with Google and that they are looking forward at a long-term partnership. Now, Google's never really released a Slate PC before. Its Nexus One Android phone was pretty sweet in the terms of Android-driven smartphones with a very fast processor. So hopefully the Google Slate device will take advantage of, you know, the same type of underlying technology that the Nexus One had and putting that in Slate form. So obviously Google's presence in the cloud computing industry is huge. A lot of people use Gmail, Google Talk, Google Buzz, along with all the documents, Excel, Notes, all of the spreadsheet bundles that they offer through their cloud computing. You know that the Google Slate is going to be designed to take advantage of these to make it very easy, as well as push technology to receive emails. So that you'll be able to get some emails using the traditional IMAP. You're looking at POP3. You're also looking at getting the push to a very well-refined degree with the Gmail. We saw that with the Nexus One, but with the Google Slate, they're really trying to get really solid technology through Google Voice. So you'll be able to actually do video teleconferencing over a data network. So despite the fact that the Google Slate won't be a phone per se, but it'll be developed to a point that it'll take advantage of Google Talk, it'll take advantage of the camera, and you'll be able to use Google Talk to be able to actually talk with people. And because it's an Android-driven operating system, that there's a lot of other teleconferencing software out there. So if you don't want to be using Google Talk, there are other alternatives written by the independent Android community. So we're really looking forward to the Google Slate. I had the opportunity to play with an iPad recently for about a week. Shot some videos on it, some tutorials. I really liked the iPad, although long term, the apps are too expensive. The iPad, I don't know. I really liked it in some degrees. Using it as an e-reader was really slick. I've had from Kindles to Nooks to Kobo e-readers. I've had a lot of different e-readers, so I've really had time to read on smartphones, on e-readers, on the iPad. And I think I really like the iPad in terms of an e-reader. But like all tablet and Slate PCs, they're not the most portable thing. I say they're great if you're traveling, if you're commuting every day, if you're frequently taking flights, if you're frequently going from a business conference to hotel room and things like that. Slates are great. They're definitely more portable than netbooks. I also had one of the early Asus netbooks that were pretty well. When netbooks first started coming out, Asus had the best netbook in terms of battery life at 12 hours, at hard drive speed and size. It was a great computer, but I mean, even with a netbook, these Slates are much more portable and easier to be able to write on. A netbook, even though that their computer keyboard is reminiscent of a QWERTY keyboard, they're just organized differently. So I found that it was really hard to make the adjustment between PC to laptop to netbook. I found that going from PC to a Slate, like the iPad, or going from a laptop to a Slate, a much easier transition. And you can actually do more, I believe, with a great Slate than you could with a netbook in terms of computing power, in terms of accessibility. Don't forget, a lot of the netbooks are being run on Windows, and there are a few run on the Linux operating system. Other people have used their own operating system on there, but those are the tech people that really know what they're doing. We really like, with the Slates, especially with the Google Slate, and a number of others coming out, that they are using Android as their operating system. Android is very fast and robust. So we see that the Google Slate, when it does come out, it's going to be really great. Although we believe that it's not going to be out until next year. Even though that there's a lot of spec details about it right now, and there's a lot of, you know, partnerships, people announcing these things sort of publicly, there's really no estimated date. As you know, Google is releasing a new book service soon that they're really hoping to steal market share from Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, other big companies that are involved, you know, in book selling. And what they're doing is they're allowing the publishers to sell directly to the consumers. The new program is called Google Editions. And basically, the thought in the Google camp was that they wanted to get the Google slate and get Google Editions coming out at the same time, which is around July or August of this year. But Verizon's new 4G network isn't going to go into official operation until at least January of next year. So they're really hoping with the Google slate to actually run it on the new 4G system that they're putting in, because as you know, there's about a 10 to 15% speed increase going from 3G to 4G. Now, it's unknown at this point that they will partner with Verizon and go on the 3G network to start and then transition people to 4G when that technology comes out, or whether they're just going to wait for the 4G. But in terms of Google and their roadmap plans, their initial plan was to release Google Editions and a slate at the same time, because Google Editions was first announced around September 2009. Now, in 2010, we actually have a target date. They have the system in place. For those of you that aren't familiar with Google Editions, Google Editions is basically Google hosting the content, hosting the store management system, and giving people like publishers, authors, the actual tools to sell the books directly through their site. So instead of the old model of ebook distribution, which was a publishing company such as Simon & Schuster, they have a large number of authors, they have a large number of ebooks, and they have to deal with ebook distributors because they're not going to basically build their own store. They're going to go with a company like Amazon, they're going to go with a company like Barnes & Noble or the Sony store. It just makes sense, instead of investing a ton of time and effort in developing your own store, which is a storefront, which is updating it, which is keeping it current, handling credit cards, credit card disputes, handling, you know, there's a ton of huge factors involved in the actual ebook transitionary process of having a store built from scratch, marketing the store, maintaining a store. So what Google's doing is they're actually allowing people to sell the books directly off their site, on the ebooks that is, and Google will handle everything else. They'll handle the uploading to the user for this. They'll handle the actual application in which you'll actually be able to read this book. They'll host the ebook for you. They'll host the entire payment system using Google Checkout. So Google Editions is looking to be quite the paradigm game changer in terms of the old method, which was Amazon selling the book at less what the book was worth. So Amazon would take a loss. The publisher would take a loss because the publisher wanted to sell the book at $14, but Amazon said, well, you know, we're going to charge $9.99 a book, undercut basically, you know, 60 to 70% of the ebook market, and then people will have no choice but to deal with Amazon. We'll gradually raise the prices. People won't really care. But there's a lot of other ebook stores out there right now, like the Kobo ebook store. Like I said, the Barnes & Noble and many other stores. There's a lot of even stores happening right now in overseas, such as Taiwan, Thailand. There's a lot of big companies merging together. BenQ and True Digital, for one, are forming together both an e-reader technological manufacturer. They make LCD screens, BenQ, and a lot of other things. They partnered with True Digital, which is basically an existing entertainment provider, and they're merging forces and creating this big e-book store. It's really great. Their bookstore is similar compared to our good e-reader bookstore, where instead of paying by the book, you purchase a credit system, or you purchase a subscription-based model where you pay a certain amount of dollars a month, you get access to a certain number of books. So they're changing up the way ebooks are traditionally being sold to the end consumer. So what BenQ True Digital has in common with Google Editions, which in turn has prevalence on the Google slate, is that Google right now is changing up really the North American ebook market, and they're doing it at the same time as a lot of other people are doing it. So we've really, in the last few months, are going to be seeing a whirlwind of changes in the way that ebooks are delivered to the end consumer. Publishers will now be able to set their prices. So if you have a Google Slate, or if you have an iPad and you're using it for an e-reader, you're now going to have a ton more options available to you. Really, this is going to lower the cost of ebooks, make them more accessible, and for, you know, people that like to read, people are pretty loyal to authors. When you have a favorite author, when you have a favorite series of books that you follow, you know, you're interested in the author. And what will happen because of Google Editions is that you'll be able to, the publisher and therefore the author will be able to actually build a stronger relationship with the reader. Right now it's very impersonal. A certain author may be on a label such as Simon & Schuster. They will put together book tours for her. But really, because Simon & Schuster isn't directly selling the ebooks to people, they're selling them to Amazon, they're selling them to other ebook stores, they're printing up books, but again, they don't distribute them. They chain them off to, you know, Indigo, to Borders, to Chapters, to other large bookstores. Now, what's really happening with Google Editions is that they are allowing the publishers directly to sell the book now. So this is something that the publishers have been wanting to do for a long time, but Google Editions will now empower publishers and authors to interact with the public a lot more, because you're effectively, Google Editions is cutting out the middleman. They're cutting out the companies that are traditionally selling you the ebook. You will be buying the ebook from the publisher. In turns, the author will be able to have a web page on a Simon & Schuster site or whatever label she belongs to, and she could sell the book now directly. So if an author belongs to a label, often authors have their own sites, and you could purchase books, you know, directly through them, but Google Editions will make it so much easier for these authors to directly sell the book on their own site. So you can see where this type of methodology of selling ebooks builds a stronger and more cohesive relationship between the customer and the actual producer, e.g. the author. So we look forward to the Google Slate as having a really strong foundation with Google Editions, because if Google Editions does come out when they say it's going to come out, say July, August of this year, and then the Google Slate comes out, say, let's say at the long term, modest forecast, say around January, February of next year, because that's what's looking most likely at this point. So Google Editions will have had time to catch on, people and bigger stores will have time to implement it, so the publishing companies will have time to go through that trial and error stage to actually have, you know, a few hundred, then a few thousand, then a few million books accessible. And don't forget about the Google Free Book Project that they have. So Google has really come strong on influencing the ebook community. So they're going to heavily tout their Google Slate to be not just a Slate computer to do mobile computing, but it'll be a viable alternative that you can actually read ebooks. So let's play a little song. I think I've ranted enough about Google and Google Editions, and we'll get into some other tablet and Slate PC news.
New sneakers. They like Reebok. Strap when I get
down to a dick of Adidas.
New sneakers.
They like Reebok.
I wear a Puma sneakers.
It could have been Tier Flyers, could have been Nikes, it could have been Focus, Converse, and a Super Focus. The Red Blue Lines and the socks. Those are fat.
You know, I ain't no gang banger no more, so I ain't really involved in the color thing. I got blue hair and a red hair.
Wear anything from Converse to Pumas to Adidas to, you know what I mean, Nikes.
About to get the Jordans next week. Yeah. Strictly gold on it. Buckies and all that.
Marcus, I'm back. I think that song or series of little musical interludes definitely chilled me out. So let's move on. I was speaking at the beginning of the broadcast about the iPad and how I had a chance to recently use it. The iPad actually just released a new commercial today. You can actually see it on the front page of our blog here at goodereader.com/blog. And we give you a little forecast on what it's about. It's roughly about 30 seconds or so. It's just a little spot on how the iPad can be used in everyday life. They accentuate the portability of it. They show you all different types of apps and all different types of people from all different sort of walks of life using it. It's a good little ad. I just suggest you check it out. Now, that there are a number of little slate and tablet PCs that have been had some announcements made. MSI is to debut a Windows 7 Slatebook tablet. MSI had been working on an e-reader, and they had been running on a Google Android-driven slate, but right now, those two slates are both the e-reader and the Android-driven tablet. They are delayed. Now, let's look at some specs. The new MSI will debut at the Computex trade show in June. Now, it'll have a 10-inch touchscreen display, Intel Atom ZXX series processor. It'll have built-in 3G and Wi-Fi. As I said, the operating system will in fact be Windows 7. So it'll have a few different USB ports. It'll have a webcam, about a 12-hour battery life. You're looking at paying above $500 for this when it comes out. So they're showing it at Computex. So the retail launch won't be that far behind. And it's looking to be pretty well one of the biggest companies actually delivering a Windows 7-based slate PC. As you know, the Microsoft Courier had been focusing on Windows platform, same with the HP Slate. But we all know that the Courier is canceled, although Microsoft is working on Slate PCs. That the Courier team was disbanded, and the Courier team is now working on the new slates that Microsoft is developing. And whereas HP, they're pretty well going to give up on the Windows 7 operating system, and they're more or less going to be focusing on Palm Web OS, which we did report last week that HP and Palm have formed a relationship. HP bought Palm, and HP is releasing the Hurricane OS. So this is good news for HP in the respects that they are releasing a new PC, but getting more to the point on MSI, that they're looking good. Their technology, their processor, it looks like everything's working as planned. So it's finally going to be nice to be able to have a Windows 7-based slate. So you can use all the same apps that you use on your computer or your laptop, that if you're running Windows at all. So you'll be able to have your applications, your games, you'll be able to run all the common programs that you use day to day. So the slate will be a really nice extension, as well as it'll have a lot of custom features. So yeah, MSI, it really looks like a good slate PC. I'm going to really try my best to get my hands on one so I could bring to you some videos and give you some product review on this. So look for the MSI SlateBook PC to debut at Computex. And once they do, we'll be able to show you some really good videos on those once they come out. So let's jump into some other news. I did touch on this, but we haven't done a live audio show. We have not done the Good E-Reader radio show in about a week for our blog here. So we want to bring people up to date that may not be up to date on that HP Hurricane Tablet PC. This is going to be running Web OS. They're looking to come out with this around August or September of this year. The very latest, they want to get it happening during the Christmas season, which last Christmas season, Amazon really cleaned up with Kindle sales. So the tablet slate industry is slated to, no pun intended, to have a really good holiday season if they can get them out fast enough. Now, there whole isn't a whole lot of specs on the HP Hurricane. It could be that the HP Slate initials statistical configuration, the processor, the HDMI, the webcam, these could all be possible features. Right now, HP Hurricane does have a test model right now. There really isn't no date on when it's going to be coming out, although we estimate that because they have all the hardware underneath the hood running properly, it's all a matter of getting it working with WebOS. Now, with WebOS and with the Palm purchase that HP did, HP has access to over 2,000 apps that were developed for Palm by an independent community. So a lot of these applications will be available on the Slate forum. So you'll have, you know, your calculator, your Google Maps, you'll have web browsing application, instant messaging, you'll have all the apps that you need to have in order for something like this to even be viable for a consumer product. But they're really hoping that all the alternative ads, being able to get different sort of email variations happening, being able to do video network conferencing, being able to have Google applications like Google Talk, for example. So again, that the HP Slate will be able to be an extension with its webcam and with its speakers built into it, you'll be able to actually use it to be able to converse with people. So even though it's not a phone per se, that you still will be able to make phone calls. That's the allure about slates in general. Even the it's unfortunate that the iPad doesn't have a video camera on it, so you can actually do video conferencing. So this is the nice thing that the iPad alternatives that they are actually touting, although they're not really advertising it as, or making it to be embedded into the consumer's consciousness as much as they really should be doing, because that's a tremendous selling point, being able to use a slate as a phone, basically. So, yeah, the Hurricane OS or the Hurricane Tablet PC, it's going to be a gooder, and we'll definitely report more on it as more details come to light. Now, I mentioned previously in the show so far that I managed to get my hands on a Kobo e-reader. And for the most part, for a really budget $149 entry level, it's great. I mean, I really dig it that you can actually go into the store and buy a Kobo. So that's a pretty powerful selling point. And at $149, it's a really good level price-wise to be an impulse buy. When I was in my local store, Chapters, they never really had the Kobo e-reader, you know, prevalent. They really didn't have, like, a huge display for it or anything like that. So, as an impulse buy, it's a win. At the price, it's a win. It can also display EPUBs, which is pretty well, like, the best, more open source as far as ebooks go. You know, Amazon has their proprietary e-reader format. Also, Sony has their proprietary format for their e-readers to read it properly. But with EPUB, a lot of different e-readers can read EPUB, you know, from Barnes & Noble, Nook, to the Spring Design Atom, to the Kobo e-reader, and a lot of the smaller, more nichier e-readers that haven't really caught on too much, although that they do all run EPUB. So a lot of ebook stores sell their e-readers and EPUB. Now, here are the things you know. If you have a Kobo e-reader, you need to install Adobe Acrobat and Adobe Digital Editions. This will help make managing your Kobo e-reader, it's essential. So you really have to do it. Adobe products, as these products are the industry standard, so you don't really have to worry about downloading a program that may not work. But Kobo has developed their own interface software that allows you to do some managing, although we have heard for some people, elderly people that maybe aren't too tech savvy, they've had a lot of trouble with the Kobo software in the respects that if you're reading a book and say, you know, you just want to get it off of it being your primary book, you don't want to scroll all the way to the end of the book to get it off your bookshelf. You actually have to not only log into the Kobo desktop software, but you will actually have to log into Adobe Digital Editions in order to take the book that you're reading off your bookshelf. So not only that, a lot of people have been complaining that the way that you organize ebooks with the Kobo software really isn't that great. Now, these are all things that will be fixed. I mean, the Kobo is a new product. Obviously, all their software and everything isn't going to be flying out of the gates, having everything just magically working. You know, you have to give these guys some time. We've had a number of Kobo people that actually work on the project comment on our blog and say that, you know, these problems that the, you know, these small minor issues that Kobo's having, they're not really that big of a deal. The Kobo is a great e-reader. And I mean, we agree, you know, the Kobo is a great e-reader at the price. Obviously, it doesn't really have a lot of advanced features that, say, the Kindle has or the Nook has in the terms of it having a web browser, in the terms of it being aesthetically a better looking device with a lot of different keys and stuff. So the Kobo is bare bones minimalist, but at that price and for its ability to read EPUBs is great. Although, further elaborating that if you buy EPUBs from the Kobo store, you're going to have no problem reading them. If you download EPUBs from the web, if you download EPUB files from other ebook stores, you may have some font issues with your Kobo e-reader. So there's a few different things that you can do. Kobo does have the option to increase font size, but when that doesn't fix the case, in some cases that we've heard on our goodereader.com/forum, we have a lot of Kobo users in our section asking for questions, asking for help and advice, and they ask us, a lot of people are having the same issues, that the fonts are too small to read, there's nothing that I can do to increase the font in order to get this book readable, what do I do? So, there are a few solutions. We do have a major thread on our blog that actually talks about a number of the solutions in terms of different files that you can download to fix this problem. One of the most popular methods that are the easiest and most user-friendly to do is to download a program called Calibre. And you can just Google that, or we do have the link on our post on our sites. Now, you can use this and increase the font size. We have a step-by-step tutorial that shows you how to do this, so we're not really going to get into it as far as me telling you right now exactly what to do step-by-step, but know that we do have solutions to use Calibre to increase the font size, but that's the major issue that you can do it. Also with the Kobo e-reader, a little known Easter egg that it has, you can actually play video poker on your unit. If you want to access it, press menu, then select help, then press menu again, then select help again, and you'll actually have access to a video poker game that they have. Now, for Kobo sales, that they are taking pre-orders right now for the USA, and it'll be available for people that live in Australia and New Zealand at about the end of June. So, Kobo e-reader, it's a great e-reader, it's a great product for an entry-level purchase. As you know, that the e-reader market right now is really saturated. A lot of people don't know that, you know, which one should I buy? I mean, right now, that there's too much variety. Whereas a few years ago, there really wasn't a whole lot of variety. There were Kindles, there were Sony e-readers, and that was really the extent that the mainstream public had access to these, both, you know, in stores or just online visibility. Of course, that there were a number of older e-readers like the IREX, like the Cooler e-readers, Aztec, and so on. You know, there was a lot of ones that never really caught on to do a lot of market success. But in recent times, there's just so many e-readers out there right now. I mean, we feature a new e-reader on our blog almost every single week. Same with tablet PCs. There's a new tablet PC announced, sometimes one or two a week. So when you come down to making a buying decision, often it's an arduous endeavor. You know, who says and whose opinion are you going to trust to say what's the best e-reader for you? If you want, I can offer my opinion on what for your money is the best to do. I mean, if you want to spend under, you know, $150, Kobo e-reader, obviously. There are cheaper, more budget ones out there. But for the support and for this community aspect, Kobo, it owns a big e-reader store. They're backed up by some major partners like Borders and Indigo. So though that you might be able to go into Walmart, Kmart, and get a no-name brand e-reader from China or something like that at $100, $110, $130, you could do that, but it doesn't really have the backing that Kobo has. So that's why we recommend the Kobo. If you want to spend under $200, buy the Kobo e-reader. There's really nothing that wrong with it. It's a good e-reader at a good price. If you want to spend between $200 and $300, we definitely recommend 6-inch e-readers at that price. That's really what you're going to get for your money. If you want to go Sony, go with the Sony Pocket Edition. You can pretty well get it now for about $169 to $189. They were having some promotions. Some of their web stores still haven't updated it yet, so it could be still at the $200 realm. Barnes & Noble Nook is as well for about $259 is a great e-reader. Built-in web browser. It's color touchscreen at the bottom, so all of the books are in full color that you're scrolling through. It has a lot of great menu features. It also has introduced Android applications recently, so you can play some games, you can surf the internet. You just don't have to do it to read books. although that's the primary reason that you're buying it. But know that there it does offer some diversionary aspects to it in between cycles of reading, and there also will introduce more. The Kindle, you know, we can say that the Kindle 2 is a great $200 to $300 e-reader. It has Amazon. It has the Amazon store. They've been around for a long time. They have a ton of books. Although with the Amazon, if you buy from Amazon, you're staying with Amazon. So make the decision that if you wanted to buy a Kindle, which, you know, by no means is it not a great e-reader. It is. And they also have released development tools recently for the Kindle, so developers can make a better web browser. They can make games and applications. You can check your email. You can do a lot of great features, and they're really touting the SDK. So it is available to select developers right now in a beta test. And as you can see with some of the Kindle updates that they've offered recently, it's really a sign of things to come. So both in terms of the Barnes & Noble Nook running Android as its operating system, and Kindle running its own proprietary software, make the decision yourself. I mean, Barnes & Noble, primarily for the Nook, runs EPUBs. So with EPUB, it just simply gives you more variety. You can buy from more stores, competitively shop a little bit more, and being able to, if you want to upgrade your Nook to another e-reader a year or, you know, 8 or 6 months down the line, you can still take all your books with you to your next device. With Kindle, you're locked into Kindle, so know that if you are going to be buying a lot of Amazon books, don't really think about upgrading to another e-reader because you simply have to buy your books all over again. So take it for what you will. If you want to spend between $300, $400, and $500 and up, at this given moment, I would recommend Sony Daily 900, and I would recommend a Kindle DX in terms of 9-inch screens, very nice. If you can afford to wait, if you don't want to really buy it this moment, but if you have some time to wait, I would almost honestly recommend the Plastic Logic Q. Even though it keeps getting delayed, this is simply probably going to be the best looking e-reader in the upper, you know, $500 market. It's going to be having Wi-Fi, 3G, it'll have solid state for its memory, so things are going to instantly load on this. It's going to be more like a business e-reader device, and it'll be more of like an upper level device. So it's almost the difference between an old Motorola phone for your cell phone and having a BlackBerry. It'll have 960 by 1020, 1080 rather, for resolution. It'll do 8 levels of grayscale. It'll have 8 levels of grayscale in comparison to many of the newer ebook creators that have 16 degrees of grayscale. So it's a very, it's a great looking device. I mean, the Q spec wise has the highest specs in like the market right now. And it's been in development for a number of years. They use a new e-reader screen technology that actually flexes and bends. The resolution on this is the sharpest in any really e-reader in terms of how the contrast looks, how rich the e-ink actually looks. And so you'll actually be able to edit documents with this. You'll be able to do Excel, Word, PowerPoint, PDFs. So you're not able to just be like a consumer and actually just read books exclusively, but you'll actually be able to use your e-reader for business purposes. So it'll do email, it'll have calendars, it'll have a web browser. It's looking, just from its partnerships alone, with basically every major North American publisher and European publisher, they have them all locked down. It reads a tremendous amount of different e-reader formats, from EPUBs, the PDF, HTML, RTF docs, you know, the new Microsoft DocX formats, as well as tons of Microsoft formats and open source formats. So if you can afford to wait, I would really look at the Plastic Logic Q. If you want a 9-inch touchscreen or you want a 9-screen e-reader now, I would say Kindle DX because of Amazon's long track record, or I would recommend a Sony 900 Daily in terms of that. Now, if you want sort of like a hybrid e-reader alternative, look at the Entourage Edge. It's actually a dual book, folds up like a book. One screen is LCD, touch screen. The other screen is e-ink. It's geared more towards students. It's geared more towards people that are in production or people that are making media and just not consumers of media. You can do all sorts of good highlighting functions. We have a really great review of it, so I really am not going to get into all the features of the Entourage Edge, but if you want an e-reader that's just not an e-reader but is not a Slate PC, the Entourage Edge is the first dual book to really exist. You're looking at the high 400s to be able to buy it new. They offer it in many different colors for about $40 extra. We also sell it on our goodereader.com website, take into account all your different color options, so you can simply buy from our site and we'll ship it to you internationally, something that Entourage doesn't do. But yeah, I mean, so that's my opinion of the best e-reader. So if you want to, if you're in the market for one, I've pretty well nailed down the best ones for that price. If you have otherwise or differing opinions, please feel free to visit our forum at goodereader.com/forum. And we have on our forum all sorts of different sections that you can contribute your 2 cents. And if you do mention something that we've possibly overlooked, simply we can take into account your opinion and we will mention it in an upcoming Good E-Reader Radio Show broadcast. Now, to end the show today, we want to announce that there's an M1 Touch tablet PC coming from iView. It's looking at about an Intel Atom N450 processor. It clocks speeds at about 1.66 gigahertz, 2 gigabytes of internal RAM. It has roughly about 160 to a 250 gigabyte hard drive. It will also come with Windows 7 Home Premium. So more Windows 7 Slate PCs are hitting, but they're not hitting from, you know, baller companies. It's a smaller company that's doing this. About a 10-inch screen. It's a multi-touch screen. A resolution of 1024 by 600. You'll have about a 4-in-1 card reader and a USB port, so it'll read SD cards. It'll run all different kinds of different cards if you have the adapters. It really has a sleek design. It's very reminiscent of a larger iPod Touch or the iPad. It'll weigh roughly about 2.6 pounds. The total size of the unit is about 11.4 by 5.9 by 0.8. Battery life, about 10 hours or so. And it'll retail for about $500. It's due to hit stores actually very soon at the end of May. So if you're looking for a new tablet PC that runs Windows 7, take a look at the iView M1 Touch tablet PC, or take a look at the MSI Windows 7 Slate that's due to come out. So that's all for the latest tablet, slate, and e-reader news. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Good E-Reader Radio Show. This is Marcus, and we're going to have a little song to end the night. And again, for the latest e-reader news, check out our blog, goodereader.com/blog, or you can check out our forum where we have all the latest e-books in all e-reader formats. So if you're looking for EPUB, if you're looking for Kindle formats, if you're looking for Sony formats, or if you're interested just to read books on your computer, mobile phone, netbook, iPad, or anything else, check out our Good E-Reader bookstore. Memberships as low as $10.99 a month. You get access to at least 15 books for that price, as well as our ebook store now has over 4,000 books. If we don't have the book that you're looking for on our forum, as we only post a few hundred a day, you can simply make a request, and if our publishing partners has this book, we will post it up post-haste. So again, this is Marcus, Good E-Reader. Take care. Thank you.
curse of this town. We're all in my mouth, only I don't know how they got out. Dear, turn me back into the bed. I was only nine, I was happier then with no mindset. And if you turn to me like a girl takes to a wind, we'll add a jump from my trees and I can dance like a king in the ice. So the rest of our lives were prepared well. Do you sling when you notice the stripes, the dirt in your grimes? Hope it's right when you die. Open bony dawn breaks like a bow through the hall. Never should have called, but my head's to the wall and I'm lonely. And if you took to me like a girl takes to the wind, well, I'd have jumped from my trees and died and danced like a king in the ice. So the rest of our lives would have fared well. Godspeed, all the bakers are done, and they all cut their thumbs and bleed into their buns till they melt away. I'm looking in on the good life I might be doomed never to find, without a trust, a flaming field. Am I too dumb to refine? And if you turn to me like a, I'd have danced like the queen of the ice. So the rest of our lives would have fared well.